Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, Pope Benedict spends the day at the Marian Shrine of Fatima on the third day of his pastoral journey to Portugal. We'll be hearing from our correspondent at the shrine, taking a close look at the Pope's message there, as well as from pilgrims who've made the journey from across the globe to pray for grace, hope and healing. On Thursday morning, the day the Church marks both the Ascension and the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, Pope Benedict celebrated Mass for thousands of people gathered outside the Marian Shrine at Fatima on the third day of his pastoral visit to Portugal. The Portuguese president and other government officials were on hand to hear the Pope pray for Our Lady's intercession for the healing of our suffering world. Our very own Veronica Scaresbrick is also there at the shrine. She sent us this report.
In 7 years' time, it will be a century since three little children by the names of Lucia, Francisco and Jacinta had a series of apparitions of Our Lady in a little hollow by the name of Cova de Iria, starting on the 13th of May. And, said Benedict XVI to the over 300,000 Fatima faithful gathered around him, you will return here on this date, celebrating that visit from a lady come down from heaven. The Pope spoke overlooking this hallowed place during the homily of the Holy Mass he was presiding over to mark this special feast day, which this year coincides with the Ascension. Behind him, the creamy white basilica with its long neoclassical colonnade, where those three little shepherd children are now buried, stood out against the cloudy skies, dominating the huge sloping esplanade, where the Fatima faithful conjured up one of their many moving and suggestive spiritual tricks. Already the night before, they turned the square into an ocean of flickering lights, and now they transformed it into a sea, bobbing up and down with tiny white waves, in reality white handkerchiefs. Handkerchiefs the Portuguese wave here in a devotional practice to greet Our Lady as the statue representing her is carried around the square, a tradition inherited by this nation of seafarers who were wont to wave to their loved ones as they set out to sea. And all the while, tears streamed down the pilgrims' faces, pilgrims simple and sophisticated, some from abroad. And the Pope continued his homily saying, I have come with the same sentiments as those of Blessed Francisco and Jacinta, and the servant of God, Sister Lucia, in order to entrust to Our Lady the intimate confession that I love Jesus, that the Church and priests love him.
Como os mesmos sentimentos dos beatos Francisco e Jacinta e da serva de Deus Lucia, vim a Fátima para confiar a Nossa Senhora a confissão íntima de que amo.
Finally, referring to the so-called secrets of Fatima, the third of which was revealed 10 years ago in this very same place in the presence of John Paul II, and the last seer to survive, Sister Lucia, both of whom, as we know, died 5 years ago, the Pope highlighted how it is mistaken to think that Fatima's prophetic mission is complete.
Illudirsia quem pensasse que a missão profética de Fatima esteja concluída.
Let's recall for a moment how he is no stranger to all things Fatima. It was he who, in his capacity as president of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, wrote the theological commentary to the third secret. And in his last words to the congregation here, he expressed the wish that the 7 years which separate us from the centenary of the apparitions hasten the fulfillment of the prophecy of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And when Mass was over, the successor of Peter disappeared into the basilica behind him to pray before the tombs of those three little shepherd children who received those many visits from Our Lady in Heaven on the 13th of May, 1917. With the Pope in Portugal, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Well, after that Mass, Veronica had the chance to speak to some of the pilgrims, trying to find out exactly what draws them to this great Marian shrine.
We're here to see the Holy Father. It's my first trip to Fatima, and to enjoy being with all the Catholics of the world. This is our faith in action. When you see so many different languages and people from so many countries in one place for a common cause, and to see the Holy Father and celebrate Mass together.
What is the meaning of Fatima today, do you think?
Oh, the message is still powerful, you know, prayer, penance, make reparation for the sins of mankind, you know, in addition to our own sins.
It's the first time I am coming here, and it's really surprising for me, this many people in Europe, because in India, faith is, okay, I have heard in Europe faith is deteriorating, but for me, when I saw this, I thought faith is increasing in Fatima, and I was surprised how much faith I have in Our Lady. And it's really it's good to be here.
And where are you from? Haiti?
Haiti. But we live in New York City.
It's a bad moment for Haiti, isn't it?
Yes, but we're praying the dear Lord. Everything He does is all right.
What is the message of Fatima?
Help each other, help the poor, feed my people.
Is this the first time you come here?
This is our second time.
What is your impression of Fatima?
When you come the first time, you don't know what to expect. Until you get there, you know you have to come back. It's like something that is inside you, you cannot let go. You're crying, you don't know why you're crying. It's too deep to explain.
Thank you.
May God bless you.
Pope Benedict arrived in Fatima from the Portuguese capital, Lisbon, on Wednesday evening and celebrated Vespers with priests, religious and seminarians before reciting the rosary and blessing the candles of the several hundred thousand pilgrims gathered outside the little chapel of the apparitions. Let's go back over to Veronica Scaresbrick now, who describes the spectacular and moving scene there in Fatima.
On Wednesday evening, Benedict XVI arrived at the Church of the Most Holy Trinity in Fatima, a dramatic contemporary space with a magnificent golden mosaic as backdrop that can hold up to 9,000 pilgrims. He was there to celebrate Vespers with the clergy and religious of Portugal in this fortress-like oval white building, discreetly built on the opposite end of the esplanade of the earlier basilica of this Marian shrine, where the tombs of the three little shepherd children to whom Our Lady appeared back in 1917 are housed. And in this great new basilica consecrated in 2007, which has a special link with Rome, given a fragment of St. Peter's tomb is placed inside the altar, the floral decorations for the occasion were a splash of yellow in honor of the pontiff from Rome. And there was music. And when it was time for the homily, the Holy Father encouraged all present to be faithful and loyal to their vocations as disciples who wish to follow the Lord, highlighting how their witness is needed today.
Ad essere a fidelidade, a lealdade à propria vocação, como discípulo que quer seguir o Senhor.
Many of our brothers and sisters, the Pope remarked, live as if there were nothing beyond life, and without concern for their eternal salvation. It is important, he stressed, to assist one another with prayer, helpful advice and discernment, insisting that all be especially attentive to those situations where there is a weakening of priestly ideal or dedication to activities not fully consonant with what is proper for a minister of Jesus Christ. Then is the time, the Pope said, to take a firm stand with an attitude of warm fraternal love, as brother assisting brother, to remain on his feet.
Pues bien queridos consagrados y consagradas, con vuestro empeño en la oración, na ascese, no progreso da vida espiritual.
May the Blessed Virgin guide us, the Holy Father said finally. With her and like her, we are free to be saints, free so as to be poor, chaste and obedient. Free for all because detached from all, free from self so that others may grow in Christ. And as this meeting came to an end. The Holy Father wished to mark this special year dedicated to priesthood soon reaching its final weeks, and asked Our Lady, in an act of entrustment and consecration, to come to our aid, deliver us from all danger that threatens us, causing new blooms to burst forth in the desert of our loneliness, letting the sun shine on our darkness, and restoring calm after the tempest, so that all mankind shall see salvation. And later into the night, Pope Benedict turned once again to the Fatima pilgrims, expectantly waiting from him outdoors, leading them in the recitation of the rosary from the Chapel of the Apparitions, and blessing the lighted torches as they stood together in thousands. It seemed like a sea of light around this simple chapel, Benedict XVI remarked, lovingly built to honour the Mother of God and our Mother, whose path from earth to heaven appeared to the shepherd children like a way of light. In Fatima with Pope Benedict, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
And our thanks to Veronica, who will continue to cover the papal trip as Pope Benedict moves on to Porto on the fourth and final day before returning to Rome on Friday evening. Well, as you heard there, Pope Benedict prayed in a special way at Vespers for all priests in Portugal during this Year of the Priest, which draws to a close next month. Monsignor Duarte da Cunha serves as Secretary General to the Swiss-based Council of European Bishops' Conferences, but during this papal trip he's back in his native Portugal to attend most of the papal events. Just ahead of the visit I sat down with him to talk about expectations of Catholics in his country and the challenges he faces as a priest in this increasingly secular nation.
I think we Portuguese are very happy to receive the Pope, and I think it will be very, very, very important for us. It's very interesting to see that the Pope will be in Lisbon, Fatima and Porto. He will be with the cultural persons, but also with the priests, but also with the social workers. So it will be a visit that can help the Church, but also to be a message to the rest of the country. And we hope to strengthen the Church inside of our country. We need to be sustained. There are many, many, many political and cultural problems inside of Portugal, as all Europe, and we have to be sure that, yes, we are all together, and the Pope is helping us, because this organization of the receiving of the Pope with the youth, the children, everyone, is helping us to see that the Church is alive, and I think it's important this.
You're talking about cultural, political problems. What do you see as the biggest challenges, really, in this field for the Church today?
Well, I think one of the main fields is the family issues, protection of life, a culture that strengthens the family and not weakens it. And unfortunately, the cultural and the politicians, the government, isn't helping very much on this field. So we hope to create a mentality, a culture in the society that will, in the future, if not tomorrow, the day after, to rebuild the society with families, because we have a very, very low birth rate. Since the legalization of abortion, more than 50,000 abortions have been done in 2 years, which is a huge thing. It's awful. If you imagine a small country with 10 million people, we have this law of divorce very easy now, since 3 years ago. And so this is not good for us. I mean, we feel the people are not happy. We usually say in Portugal that Portuguese are very in depression. And this depression has to be resolved with a spiritual input. And we hope the Pope can give this spiritual and strength input by his message, by his person, but also by the fact of being there, it will gather all the Christians, all the Catholics, and this is important also.
He's meeting, as you say, with priests in Fatima.
Yes.
How is the church, if you like, today, being a priest in Portugal today, what kind of problems would you say are the most serious issues you're facing?
We are few priests. That's the most biggest problem. We are very busy. Someone told me we have to be more calm and to pray more. And this is something, it's very true. We are falling in activism. And this can be a problem also for the evangelizations. We can do many things, and it's very important, but we cannot do everything. And I think the Pope, very realistic, every time he speaks with the priests, he doesn't say we don't have to do something, it's important to do. But at the same time, he always points to the spiritual life, and I think this is one of the main things. The other thing is the culture. We have a certain anti-clericalism culture in Portugal since the last 100 years, because 100 years ago there was a republical installation in Portugal, and this was the anti-clerical, very, very strong. And so we, the priests, also have some difficulties in a certain sense to be normal person. We are always treated as some special people. Then there are this problem, a huge problem, international problem of the pedophilia. I think for the moment, I don't know any case of pedophilia in Portugal. But nevertheless, the newspapers, the media are always trying to find something. And this is also creating some difficulties in the pastoral level. Priests are more afraid to be near the persons. They feel themselves always looked to see if they do something wrong. And I think we have to liberate ourselves from this perspective, but it's not easy. It's not easy.
Vocations, though, are very low, you're saying?
Yes, we don't have very... We had lots of vocations in the years 14, 15, and then we have a very wall in the 60s, 70s. Now, from the 18s, 19s, it's a little bit better than was... But nevertheless, there are always more priests dying than priests being ordained. And yes, it's not easy to have to enter in the seminary. But I think there are a lot of boys called to the priesthood in Portugal. So it's also a problem of pastoral vocations. But this is, I don't want to criticize no one, but I think there are many things we can do better, because there are young people in the church, there are groups, movements with strong the pilgrimage to Fatima, the walking pilgrimage. So we have so many things that I'm sure that is something there. But how to help these boys to find the way to the priesthood, this is another thing.
The Pope is also travelling to Fatima, this shrine which has an importance all over the world. What does it represent for the people of Fatima today?
For Portugal, we can say it's the center of Portugal. Not only geographical, but it's also geographical. But I think every Portuguese goes once a year to Fatima, almost obliged, even if they are not very Catholic. And we feel it's a kind of mother protection to Portugal. And we feel it very strongly. I think we should give it more importance also to the message and to the follow of the pilgrimage. But for us, it's our home in a certain sense. It's a city created with the shrine, with the holy statue. But it's more than that. It's the place where we meet God. We confess themselves, participate on the Mass, pray the rosary. And all this is very Portuguese identity. No? Then we may have in the pastoral level, sometimes we don't take it so seriously as we could. I remember Pope John Paul II said to the bishops once he was there to take Fatima as the main pastoral program. Well, this could be also a sign, this returning of the Pope to Fatima.
Pope John Paul, of course, had a very special place in his heart for Our Lady of Fatima, didn't he? Seeing her as the person who saved his life, in a sense. Mm-hmm. How much did that really change the way Fatima was seen, perhaps, here in Portugal?
The fact of the Pope being so close to Fatima, because of the facts of his life, it was for Portuguese people very, very important to be closer to the Pope, no? But I cannot say that Fatima becomes more important because of that. You know, it was a confirmation of the importance Fatima had already to the life of Portuguese. Nowadays, there are lots of new pilgrims, walking pilgrims. Once it was only the people that have done promises to. Now there are spiritual parish movements, groups, young people, old people, walking for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. It's a very spiritual, it's a kind of spiritual exercises. And I think the fact of the Pope in 91 and then in 2000 and the new reborn of this pilgrimage was also very important to us, I think.
My thanks there to Monsignor Duarte da Cunha, Secretary General of the Council of European Bishops' Conferences. Benedict's penultimate encounter in Fatima on Thursday was with representatives of Portugal's main charitable organisations, responsible for caring and advocating on behalf of the most marginalised and vulnerable members of society. During the meeting, the Pope also blessed the cornerstone of a new centre, which will be built there in Fatima, close to the shrine, which welcomes around 4 million visitors each year. Duarte Miranda Mendes is an official of the Portuguese government commission concerned with immigration and integration. Just ahead of the Pope's arrival in Fatima, I talked to him about the importance of this visit, as well as some of the more contrasting views between the Catholic Church and current government policy.
I do not think that those more controversial themes are going to be focused, because I think that's not essential of the Christian faith and the Christian belief. I think the most important of his present and the message that he's going to spread is about Jesus Christ and about the faith and the solidarity that we have to share among each other. And regarding that, I work with immigration. We all know that his documents and his message toward immigration is wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about the situation here of migrants in Portugal, figures and how well they are being integrated into society.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, right now the figures have been stabilizing given the global crisis and the unemployment rate. But the truth is that they have been well integrated and well organized. I think we have social consensus about immigration in Portugal. That is a really special situation that it's not very common nowadays in Europe, with the crisis that we have been observing in other countries, such as Italy, France, or the UK. So, fortunately, even for the main parties in Portugal that are represented in Parliament and that PS and PSD did alternate in government, I think that they have been looking to these issues with social responsibility. And fortunately, for example, we had general elections in September last year, and this wasn't one of the main themes of the campaign. And I think that is a very good sign that the integration policies and the integration of the immigrant communities have been a success. And the truth is that we have been recognized. The United Nations last year at the Social Human Report stated that Portugal was the best country in the world regarding the rights and the network, the supporting networks that has created to support immigrants. And I think that is a very good sign, of course, that we have problems given the scale of our country and the scale of our economy, but I think we have good signs on these issues.
Why do you think that is? As you say, particularly in a time of economic crisis when migrants so often become the scapegoats for other political problems.
Well, I think we have a special situation given the fact that one-third of our population lives abroad. So if we think, for example, that for centuries Portuguese have immigrated, when we say that we are a people of 10 million persons, in truth we are much more than that. We might be 13 million. To give you an idea, if I compare, for example, the biggest immigrant community now in Portugal, that is, it is now nowadays the Brazilian one with 106,000 legal immigrants, if I compare the figures with the Portuguese living in Brazil, and I'm not talking about the 16th century and 17th century, I'm talking about 20th century migration, it's almost 1 million, about 800,000. So I think that our attitude to immigrants in Portugal should be exactly the same that we would like to expect that our fellow immigrants in the world would be received by their countries. Of course, with all those the problems that we have, but the truth is that it's our time to integrate them. And Portugal has changed its pattern for the last 15 years, because actually we have become a country that has received the immigrants, and that is a completely revolution in our even in our identity as a country.
How important is the role of the church in Portugal today? How much is the church's voice heard on this and other issues?
Well, on migration, it's a strategic player, because the truth is that, for example, I can quote the Jesuit refugee services, I can quote the immigration pastoral that works within the Episcopal Conference, and the truth is that was one of the first, I would say, NGOs, I would say non-government entities that has started to work with immigrants, that has started to create networks to integrate them, to support them. For example, I can give you the example of the Ukrainian immigrant that is Orthodox, and with whom the Lisbon Cardinal Patriarch José Policarpo has gave them a special church in order for them to develop and to increase their faith within the Orthodox religion. And so I think we have also very good relations between the religious leaders in Portugal, and that is very good. And I also must say that, for example, the Muslim community is also very recognized and is very well integrated. So the truth is that religion is a key factor for integrating immigrants. If an immigrant arrives to another country and he has his religion on that country, that is very good for his procedure of integrating, for his family, to reinforce all the effectiveness that he has to create and to promote with the host society. That this is one level of the reality. Another level of the reality is to understand the problems that we have within the same church, between the different nationalities living its own faith, with their different traditions, with their different sensibilities, and with the clashes that also those different communities might create within the church, and in this case in the Catholic Church. But the truth is that I think that diversity is one of the key factors of universality, and given that Catholicism is a universal church, so the diversity that is integrated within these all different charismas and cultural traditions and cultural sensibilities is the big challenges for churches in order to create unity out of diversity.
Thanks there to Duarte Miranda Mendes from the Portuguese Government Commission on Immigration and Integration. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow if you can. In the meantime, don't forget you can find all our news and feature programmes, including full coverage of Pope Benedict's pastoral visit to Portugal, on our website, www.vaticanradio.org/English. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.